All right, Gary, what are we playing this week?
Well, Cole, welcome to The Dump.
Oh, yeah. We're going to go diving.
Yeah, I figured it'd been a minute since we dumpster dive. I feel like we've probably done this before.
I knew I was, I'm wearing my hip waders. It was for a different, it was for different purposes. But yeah, this worked out for this.
I called you from your doing those weird things where you catfish by hand by sticking your, by making your hand into bait.
Cat fisting, okay? So people call it noodling. That's just because they're afraid of saying fisting. It's a natural thing.
You're mumbling too much, fish fucker. What is the thing that they call it?
They call it noodling.
Noodling, okay. Yes. But it's actually cat fisting.
Yes.
But not, Pocket just gave me a look. I'm not even joking.
I'm sorry. Wait a minute.
You've been a real pill lately, buddy. Yeah. So you're off the ice. Okay. We're at the dump.
Hi.
And since we've been at the dump, I feel like we've had a couple of console generations.
Okay.
So we're going to dig through a big pile of old Xboxes, Xbox 360s rather, and see what's on these hard drives.
Oh.
Maybe there'll be a game on there we can play from Xbox Arcade, if you recall that.
Xbox?
That was very important for a couple days, and now is no longer.
It is ridiculous how important Xbox was.
Yeah. Totally Arcade. Totally important, and totally gone.
Yep.
You know? So let's start digging through this pile of discredited diapers.
Okay. Well, I mean, so the Xboxes are a mantle under a crust of diaper.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Less talking, more shoveling.
Okay.
You got time to leave. You got time to clean.
I got one. Okay. Let's pull it up. Okay. This is the old
Pilgrim versus the World. Let's save this one and keep digging.
Yeah.
It's a good one.
Save that
Get
for a
Get back
Wolf.
In the trenches, Ross.
Yeah. Shit. Okay.
Only some of
your
shit.
Let me see. I should probably put on gloves.
Yeah. Sorry. Waiters for your hands. Well, you wanted to fuck those fish, so you didn't.
Right.
You can't do gloves. You can't fist a cat with fish.
No. You don't feel anything.
Gloves.
Yeah. Let's see. No, got another one. Okay.
Okay.
Pop this one in.
This one in? Okay. The Katamari remake. It's pretty cool.
Fine. Yeah.
Good. Let me see. Oh, that weird Tony Hawk HD. That thing sucks.
Yeah, no. It's they really could have just released the soundtrack collection, couldn't they?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Or just a port of any of the games.
Yeah, true.
Let's see. More stuff here. Some like chat logs. Some gamer chat logs of strangers yelling at this guy.
Yeah. No, apparently he was really good at Tony Hawk jousting. Yeah.
Oh, here's something I've never seen before. Perhaps this will work. Eerie's Extinction Agenda.
I think you mean A-R-E-S.
Mm.
Extinction Agenda.
I think if somebody does one of those things and they expect me to actually spell out the letters, that's grounds for dismissal.
I mean,
like, not you. I'm saying that the developers, if they actually want me to say A-R-E-S when I say the name of this game, I'm not going to play their game.
What
and also, I'm not going to play their game. In addition.
In addition, yes.
I'm good. Like, this is basically my number 9. I'm all right.
A spy in H-A-R-M's way.
My name is Gary Butterfield.
My name's Cole Ross.
This is Abject Suffering, or between catchphrases right now.
How much of a power play would it be if you just opened up saying, my name's Cole Ross, if you just took my name?
I wish you hadn't told me that so I could have come up with it and seen what happened.
Because I halfway expected it. I heard my name is like, ooh, this is, he's saying my
it's
line.
It's my time to shine. Present.
Yeah. All right, let me get ready here. Wait a minute. No, he took it.
What a twist.
Is it? I mean, it's like that song off of Monster.
Oh, did I make my money with my suit and tie? Yeah. You'll be pleased to hear how much my band, Modridge, references that song.
Oh, yeah?
In practice. Like, it, King of Comedy and Honk a Man, like, come up with alarming frequency.
Very good.
Yeah, it is. We've definitely discovered a new vein of camaraderie in making fun of music.
Mm.
And lately the target has been, do you remember Gege Ta?
What?
The band called Gege Ta.
Gege.
And they do Gege Ta, Gege Ta. It's like a baby saying Greggy Todd.
Okay.
I think is the origin of the band name, according to Pop-Up Video Memories. But they did a song that went, all I want to do is thank you for letting me pass in my car. Bit. And it's really hard to listen to. And it has been very fun in practice to, like, you know, sit down and do the, look, I got a song I've been working on.
Mm-hmm.
You mind if I, like, check it, you know, run it by you guys and then play that? it's been real fun. So, but, yeah. We have a good time at band practice.
Oh, yeah, we have fun around. We do things a little bit differently here.
Yeah, you don't have to be crazy to be in the band, but it helps.
The Wikipedia for Gege Ta, I am always just interested in what gets linked and what doesn't. What gets a blue link? What gets a red link? Mm-hmm. Red links, I think, are inherently tragic. But on the discography. So they released three albums between 1994 and 2001. Only the middle one, released in 1996, Sacred Cow, gets a link.
Yeah, it's the one that has that hit on it.
Ah, gotcha.
The song is called Whoever You Are. Ugh. Whoever you are,
is it...
I wanna thank whoever you are. And it was used in a Mercedes-Benz commercial in 2001. It's beyond the sell-by date for Gege Ta. yeah.
Do I want to look up a picture of this band, Gary?
Oh, I think so.
Okay.
I think you want to see what Gege Ta looks like.
I want to see what their steez is. Oh.
Basically. Yeah.
Let me see here.
Looks like dudes.
Yeah, I know. Really, really dudely dudes.
Yeah, big. Yeah, lots of dude.
Yeah.
Dude vibe.
They've got the kind of long hair that only happened between 1993 and 2002.
This link for Gege Ta on Tidal just says Tidal, and then under it says Bare Naked Ladies, and it has a picture of Bare Naked Ladies. that feels like a brutal own to Gege Ta.
Like,
and I only know it's Bare Naked Ladies because the one guy that I don't know which one he is, that's there is very recognizable. yeah. That band I also find very rough.
Yeah, yeah.
So.
No, there's like one or two songs of theirs that I was like, okay, yeah, this is a melody. And then, yeah.
Cole's way into 1 week.
More like too little too late. That's a fine song.
Yeah. It's been too little. It's too late now. We're talking about Aries Extinction Agenda.
Yeah. It's Mighty Number Nine before Mighty Number Nine, Mighty Number Nine.
Mighty Number Eight.
this was demanded. This is demanded by Breyer.
By Greg Todd? No! No! If Gege Ta requested this episode, that'd be the greatest coincidence in the history of the world.
It would. It would seem like we planned it, but yeah. Joke's on you. It's Abject Suffering's trick. We never plan anything.
Yeah, it's Abject Suffering. We don't plan Abject Suffering's trick.
No, but this is Breyer saying, this is a game I found during a long Mega Man X and multiple spinoffs drought since the DS. It's cheap, functional. I think there's some fun to be had. A half hour on this bad boy would give you a good cross section of what it has to offer. This game is frighteningly bland.
I know that
Breyer, laid out a bunch of, you know, semi-positive, maybe Damnation by Faint Praise. Comments about this. There's not an awful lot of like literally the most engaged that I was about this was when I went to the Moby Games for it, and I looked at the studio, and I looked at the names and the credits, because usually I that is a way to find potential cricks. And apparently, like, this the studio in this game was made in Southern Asia, based on the names. And I'm not going to attempt to pronounce them, but it is very much like a Pakistani, Pakistani looking names, or, you know, things like that.
Which is, so. we talked about that, largely in the Pathologic episode.
Yes.
Watch Out for Fireballs. The idea that there's a big wide world that is crazy diverse, and yet video games just tend to come from like one or two different sensibilities.
Mm-hmm.
So it's neat to see a game that at least comes from somewhere else, even if the sensibility is, like, basically kind of like Game Maker by way of Renpy. You know, like it's a lot like there's a game I played that's very similar to this for I think called Copy Kitty that I played for Check It Out Comrade.
Hmm.
Like there was a small spate of like Mega Man X likes.
Yeah.
That came out. Which happened really late. Like it happened way after Mega Man X, which is strange.
Yeah.
Everyone got horny for that again around the same time. And they've never worked for me. And I feel, you know, I feel bad for the, you know, the person who requested this. I just don't think this is, I thought it was very bland.
No.
It wasn't painful.
No.
Like, it wasn't horrible to play. There were things, to me, whenever I play like a version of something that's clearly inspired by Mega Man X or inspired by a classic of the genre, but just has less going into it. So like less time, less talent, less money. It just really highlights what is special about the former and not the latter.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. So like this is a lot like Mega Man X. It's not unplayable. You know, it got, and the reviews, like when you look at it, it's all like 7 to 10s all across the board, which I feel like is probably pretty accurate.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like not as good. Like the characters are not as charming. The music is not nearly as good.
It doesn't make nearly as good of a first impression.
Yeah. Yep. It doesn't have a good hook to it, you know, to the actual story, like the, upgrade system, which is like this crafting system might be interesting, but what it means is that you're slowly making progress towards new verbs as opposed to just getting a new toy to play with, you know, in one fell swoop. Like there are a lot of little differences between this and Mega Man X that like really illustrate something that seems as simple as Mega Man X and why it's actually extremely cool.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah. No, I agree. And I was a little bit confused about the structure of this game because there's an implied, you know, the levels feel nonlinear enough that you could apply like some, you know, like a spin of Metroid onto it. However, I, you know, like you get to something that is very distinctly like the next level. Is that a new biome? Yeah, stuff like that.
Yeah.
You know, and this game has a bad habit that even the Mega Man X series fell into later on, which is just kind of like dumping you into combat arenas. Like, okay, kill X number of these dudes before we can move on. Like, that's just not a good design decision. Like, that is not ever worked for me.
Yeah, it's like an arena based thing like that is not super fun.
Yeah,
like unless it's Doom. Isaac or a Gungeon,
yeah,
where it's like that's the point is you're going from room to room just killing everyone who's in it.
Mm-hmm.
But when I have a sense of forward momentum, it can interrupt it.
Yeah, yeah,
you know.
But like my biggest complaint about this was, like this feels nitpicky, but something I think is cool is like you can use the right stick to shoot in every direction. But by default, your jump is still mapped to a face button. So you like, it seems like the game is designed for you to be, you know, moving and shooting in a bunch of different directions very nimbly. However, the out of the box, key set that it gives you on a 360 controller has you unable to access maneuverability basically. And I didn't take the effort to remap it because I was stuck like, okay, is it not meant to be played like that? Is it meant to be played, you know, by it, you know, aiming it by you know, by with just one stick? No, it doesn't seem like it. It just feels like it's caught between worlds. But that is not an abject suffering level criticism. That is, you know, that's different.
That's a WAF criticism. That's WAF tier.
Yeah.
Yeah. That would be a thing with that. I also, you know, I mentioned earlier, but I do think it's true, is that this is too zoomed in.
Mm-hmm.
Like your character is too big. The enemies are too big.
Yeah.
Or the resolution is just not well done or there's something, you know, I wanted to be a smaller guy in a bigger world.
Yeah. Yeah.
For this type of game. And that's generally true of a run and gun. Like there's a reason why the Contra fellows are little.
Yeah.
You know? It's because they, you know, they've got a disease.
they were hit with a particular kind of cosmic ray.
Yeah, they got a disease. Unfortunately, the two Contra men. You know, what is even happening on the cover of this game?
On the cover, I thought you were saying about the cover of Contra. It's like these two guys. That's how they.
Those two dudes flexing.
Well, yeah, I mean,
yeah, I know what's happening on the cover of Contra. It's fucking hot.
Well, no, I just they've got to touch their back so they can exchange long strings of protein.
Yeah.
No, I don't know what's going on the cover of this. It appears to be very blur. A very blurry robot is screaming eye lights at a person who has an energy shield up. Is what it looks like.
Mm-hmm. There's like a lot of particle effects going on here.
Yeah.
Like Joe Madureira, like crumbled up, you know, his, from his garbage can.
Yeah.
The, there's no internet presence on this.
No.
There's like a little bit of a game facts, but nothing, no facts or reviews or anything. There's a board where someone's like, is this worth buying? And only half the people say yes, and 33% say wait for a sale. Like, it is not a well-loved game.
That feels right, though.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it, this is maybe the game that most has, you know, 66 on Metacritic, which, like, tends to skew, you know, skew lower. Mm-hmm. This might be the most, like, appropriately respected game in history. You know, like, this is at its level.
There is some kind of meter out there that you could calibrate to this, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is the universal weights. This is the cesium atom of games.
Uh-huh.
Game criticism. Yeah. Like, because, you know, there's the fact that this could come out and just be like a straight up 7 out of 10. You know, like, this is, you know, we're not the first people to talk about it, and it wouldn't be the first time we talked about it.
Mm-hmm.
But the idea that everything gets rounded up and, you know, into a 10 or a 5.
Yeah.
Basically, you know, all the time, and how that sucks, and how it is, we don't have space for the 7 or 8 out of 10.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, that's been on my mind lately a lot. I can't remember what. Somebody asked me about Stranger Things, and they were like, did you see Stranger Things season 3? And I was like, no, I thought season 1 was only okay. And they're like, yeah, it is. Season 2 is bad, but you should watch 3. And I was like, well, that's what they said. You know, they said that about 1. I'm like,
yeah,
it's like a B or a B minus. It's not, it's not good. It's okay.
Yeah.
You know, and I wish that it had just been told, like, when it came out, someone had just said, hey, yeah, it's okay. You know, desperately. I wish that someone would tell me something is okay.
Yeah, yeah.
It's never happened. Like, it's almost never happened where someone's been like, this is all right.
I mean, just, you know? Like, you kind of literally get deranged in the classic sense. Like, the upper and lower ranges, when everything is the best or worst, you constantly have to shift if it is the best or if it is the worst. And, you know, make me the 1 millionth white person today to talk about how nuance is lost in online discourse. A bunch of balloons
like
dropped.
White person thing. Like, I feel like that's just the thing.
Yeah, I know. I'm just I am conjuring a particular kind of basic dude. Basic, yeah. Capital B basic, not lower B basic. Nuance is gone. What is it? There was an Onion headline that I saw, which is like, Netflix threatens to cancel show that people are like getting way too intense about or something. Like, hey, you guys need to cool it when you recommend this, or else we're going to cancel it.
you're not gonna have it.
No,
it'd be phenomenal.
Yeah,
you know? It looks like the kind of things like the origin of, like, you know, Gary Hates Bloodborne, right?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like that's what that was about.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, like, this criticism of this, it has to be, you know, nothing. Like, it's, like, frustrated, like, on Twitter. I've been taking a step back from Twitter.
Yep. Good.
And, yeah, it is good. It's great. Even though I have, like, I've had acute sleeping problems and also no appetite. And I don't think it, causation,
are they
it
related? Correlated
absolutely with me taking a break from Twitter. Yeah. No joke. Like, the last 4 days, I've had no appetite. Like, I've eaten maybe a third of the food I usually eat.
Okay.
And I have not slept, like, almost at all. So I don't know what that's about.
Huh.
That's worrisome. Roughly when I started doing Twitter, basically once or twice a day.
Yeah. Is this like, are you going to get to the point where, like, daddy drinks for the government? Like, does Gary tweet for the government?
I don't want to have to tweet to live. Yeah. Tweet to Live is like Speed 4, and it's the worst sequel in history, man. I don't want to tweet to live.
Unless the take gets hotter and hotter, the bus will explode.
if these takes get,
if we get below the third panel on a galaxy brain.
Exactly. This bus will explode.
Yeah.
I hope not.
Yeah.
But it was just like, you know, your friend of mine, Zach, said something about how the new Dragon Quest Builders games, like, is too talky, has too many words. And I was like,
yeah.
The first one had that problem, and I think Zelda and Metroids have that problem and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, you know, some people are just like, well, like, you know, they need the words. Like, and I'm like, well, or they weren't saying like they need all the words. They were saying like, well, what would you have it be? Have no words at all?
Yeah.
And it's, no, I didn't say that. Like, you know, there's no. The, you know, again, just to be another straight white cis male saying there's no nuance. there's just no nuance. Like, it is just a very, like, you know, and again, this is not original observation, but yeah. Twitter being a bad place to actually have a conversation.
Yeah.
Not news, but it's definitely true.
Uh-huh.
Oh, you know, because it's not, oh, like, this has too many words, therefore it should have zero words,
mm-hmm.
or it should, you should only have one or two words. Yeah. It's just like, well, maybe it has 30% too many,
mm-hmm.
you know, or 20% too many.
Yeah. Sekiro is 20% too hard. Oh, yeah.
It should just be easy. You should just like,
you're calling me ableist for liking it. No, I'm not.
No, it's like 20%. Like, and then it was, oh, you're just nitpicking. That's nothing. No, 20% is totally like a significant percentage of something. Like,
you know, and, let me just take away 20% of your body.
Yeah, exactly.
Let me burn 20% of your skin area. Let's rule evades this.
It's not a nitpick, but it's also, oh, you think I shouldn't have skin at all?
Yeah.
No, I'm saying you should have a little bit less skin.
Yeah.
Skin haver MD. Fucking Dr. Skin Good. Get out of here, Dr. Skin Good. Dr. Good, the skin master.
I'm so tired of Dr. Skin Good just dropping into my Menchie's telling me what to do.
I know, Dr. Skin Good is a real problem. It's like a Candyman sequel. Like a Candyman sequel, Dr. Skin Good.
Yeah.
Yeah, or like a guest on an Oprah that is there to like fix your collagen, your fucked up collagen.
This guy got a lot of unguents.
Yeah, yeah. Got Dr. Skin Good. We created a very scary character.
Does he have a milky eye? Hey, Gary, does he have a milky eye?
I think everything that isn't. I assume that he was just skin.
Oh,
no, there were no eyes. He was just like a sack. That was just, you know, inflated by, you know, dark magic or whatever.
He's just like wheeled out on a hat rack.
He can still, well, that's good too. But then because then you have like Dr. Skin Good's cult that like carry him around and stuff.
No.
But I was just thinking he just moves around and there's nothing clearly keeping him up.
Oh, okay. Yeah. It's like Invisible Man kind of thing. What's keeping those clothes up? What's keeping that skin up?
Like you meet Dr. Skin Good. He has a hat that's over his eyes.
Yeah, but when you try and hug him, it's like grabbing a windsock.
Yeah, yeah. Or you shake his hand and just the hand just collapses, and then you let go, and then you look up and he's smiling but there's no teeth. You know, like Dr. Skin Good is really good, guys.
I've come around
to stumble into something really good, but A24, call us, because we got something for you. It's called Dr. Ari Aster. Call us. Dr. Skin Good is your next hit.
So would Dr. Skin Good have to moisturize on the inside?
Ooh, interesting. I feel like Dr. Skin Good could turn inside out and have not that big of a difference.
See, that's the thing.
Yeah. So he could, I mean, it would be really scary to see him turn inside out.
Well, yeah.
You know?
It'd probably take a lot out of him.
Yeah, yeah. You know, he does it like once a year at a ritual.
Mm-hmm.
You know? At the Skin Good retreat.
No. Yeah.
In Sunny Paloma.
Did you say Paloma Pomona, that is where Gegita is from?
Oh no, maybe I read it subconsciously though.
Oh yeah,
I do have Gegita on the brain. I'm suffering from Ta brain. The Ta of,
yeah.
There's a book called The Tao of Ta that is about the philosophy of Gegita.
Yep. Self-published.
So if you were like, let's say somewhere about in the world, there's a Dr. Skin Good.
Okay. He is coming for you.
Yeah, he's probably hunting for you. He's trying to do. What does he do? Like, what is the verb of Dr. Skin Good?
Excretes.
Excrete. Okay. So he excretes things out of his skin. But to what end? What is Dr. Skin Good's? Like, is he taking people's skins and making skinlings? You know?
I feel like there is a coming struggle. I feel like if he is
black and white people, is that what you're gonna say? Because if so, I don't want you to change the subject like that, man.
No, I'm not talking about Rahowa. We're gonna talk about Helter Skelter later.
Yeah.
There is a coming struggle, and I think that those who are worthy, they will ascend and become skin men themselves. And he is going to lead that army against whatever is going to come, and he is really invested in you taking care of your hide, whether you want to or not.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and like it's not all for the benefit, right? Like,
no.
You know, like not everything you can do to your skin is good or comfortable, right? Like there's gonna be some really harsh conditioning.
Some abrasives.
Some
unfortunate masks.
Mm-hmm. I mean, are you ready to be tanned alive and not in the good way that you think?
I probably not. You know, and some people would be tanned. Some people would just be like rubbed down and stuff. You'd be in a cage and you'd be eating like, you know, good avocados and shit.
Mm-hmm.
you know, just like a big pile of avocados. There's a huge pile of avocado pits next to you. Like the teens going to Dr. Skin Goods Lair.
Yeah. No. I mean, like this is a monkey's paw wish. You know, some teenager is like, I wish my acne would go away. And then guess what? Here comes Dr. Skin Good.
Dr. Skin Good. Yeah. And then, you know, they open the door to the basement and then it's a bunch of stairs and some avocado pits that lead down. And then just a big pile of skinless bodies.
Yep.
Like just, you know, up to the fourth step, you know, and then they try to leave and they turn around. There's Dr. Skin Good.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like, they're halfway husked and the bodies themselves, they can still move around, but they're dragging the skin behind them.
I like the skin dragging the bodies more.
Oh yeah.
The bodies die, but the skin is reanimated by Dr. Skin Good's magic. Yeah,
but it's still attached like at the lips and the mouth. Yeah. So it's attached by the digestive tract. Yeah.
Yeah. Like it just peels off partway through you know, like you're like when you tie a long sleeve shirt around your waist by just the sleeves, except for that with skin.
Yeah, that's an unflattering look.
Or so. Oh, it's very unflattering.
Yeah.
Like you think people think it looks okay.
It does. it's like a fanny pack.
Yeah, it is a lot like a fanny pack, but not a pack made of a fanny like Dr. Skin Good has. So that's the ultimate, the dark fanny pack. The ultimate dark, but fanny packed. That he makes with you. God, I love Dr. Skin Good.
He does scary. Not love you.
No, he's so scary though.
Yeah,
to me. Like he's very scary. It's got like Judge Doom from Roger Rabbit.
Yeah,
where he like when he leaves his weird little skin. Hey, when he gets flattened.
Yeah. Hey, Gary, real quick, are we just talking about that one side quest in Baldur's Gate 2 where the person steals the skin?
Those guys wear skin.
Okay. All right.
This isn't somebody else wearing the skin. This Dr. Skin Good is the skin.
Okay.
He's not one of those. You forgot to talk about the skin.
Okay. You lost focus. It used to be about the skin for you.
Yeah. What do you think Dr. Skin Good's relationship is to nails? Like not like hammer nails, but like toenails, fingernails.
I think those stay. I think that just because
hair is included.
What's that?
Hair is accepted.
Yeah, I think keratin.
Hair is skin, deal with it.
Hair is skin, deal with it. Prove me wrong. Change my mind.
Prove me wrong. Prove me wrong, libs.
Hair
is skin.
Yeah, I think the keratin as a protein that the body makes is closer to skin than
than muscle or bone. Sure.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Would be my reckon on that.
I feel like if Dr. Skin Good really takes off, this could be a thing where skins, just like freestanding skins, gain some real cultural ascendance.
Mm.
Like, I don't think they'll topple the skeleton.
Right.
You know? But just like a freestanding skin needs some, I think its time has come.
Does he have the ability to raise other skins? Like, just all of a sudden, all these bearskin rugs get up and start walking around?
Oh, you mean like non-human skins?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, that feels like a Dr. Skin Good 2 kind of situation to me.
Yeah.
Like, in the first one, it's just about teens who want good skin and him granting their, you know, Wishmaster reporting for duty and putting them in cages and feeding them avocados until he animates their skin as separate from their bodies.
Yeah.
You know, it's like somebody like the teens like hear like a moaning from a closet and they go in. They're just like a skinless person. Like, I'm so cold, you know, like begging for their skin back.
Wait, does the conscience? please can I please give me my skin back. Wait, so does the consciousness go with the skin? Like, so like where does the consciousness lie?
I imagine there, like, most of it goes with the skin, and then like maybe there's a little bit of like lizard brain.
So it ascends, like the limbic system down. Nope, don't need it.
Yeah, because it's magic. Like the one weakness to Dr. Skin Good is explicitly magic. Like there's no science, Dr. Skin Good.
If you kill the goblin, does the skin that arose, does the husk or the rind that arose from it, does it die?
So like a flak.
That's what I'm saying. If so,
it's a cool idea. Because you know wherever they're keeping Dr. Skin Good's original body is gotta be awesome.
Yeah, the core. Like the core.
It's like in a Mayan temple or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, you know, it's in the Shivers Museum. Like you know it's gonna be cool though.
Yes.
Wherever it's at. Like, you know, that's gonna be a good scene in the movie where they actually eventually get there and just throw like a salt shaker at, like, I rebuke you, Dr. Skin Good. And then Dr. Skin Good, you know, and hisses and freaks out, drops his hat.
It's kind of like it flies away. Like, yeah, like a kite. It's like, woo.
I'm out of here. I had a vision of Dr. Skin Good, kids going into a mall.
Okay.
To like get some kind of forbidden beauty product or something. Mm-hmm. And Dr. Skin Good riding up a an escalator, like flattened on it with a big smile, like coming out of the bottom of the escalator, like, hey, didn't expect Dr. Skin Good to come here, you know?
Yeah, does Dr. Skin Good, is he able to teleport at will, or does he have to, does he travel between a network of Bath and Body Works and Sephora's?
Oh, I think he has to travel. I think let's not get crazy here. I think
okay, cool.
I think most of the time Dr. Skin Good walks like a man.
Okay.
Like he's like Mr. Shiny from Monster My Podcast, right? Yes. Like yeah. He has a hat that covers his eyeless eyes. He walks around like a trench coat, you know, in clothing and stuff like that. You don't know anything's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
You know. And then when he has to move quickly once his cover is blown or whatever, he flips off his coat, he's just Skin. Fucking weird dick. Flapping in the wind, and he flies like on the wind.
Yes.
Like a kite.
Yeah,
you know, I don't think he can teleport though. Like I think it's got to be about the Skin.
Okay.
No, maybe like some dad like finds out that the kite he bought for his kid is actually made of Skin. Oh. And that's how the movie starts. You know,
it's one of his experiments. Yeah. That got out, like it fell off the back of a truck. We got a broken. Yeah. Arrow Skin Dr. Skin Good situation.
Yeah. I mean, I think we solved it.
I think we did.
And what it is everything.
Yeah. No, so this is.
I think we got it.
Yep. Got it in one.
Got it in one.
Fucking stupid.
No, Dr. Skin is not stupid.
Man. I know. That's my defense. I have to say that I'm sandbagging.
Worried that somebody is going to say it's stupid, but Dr. Yeah. Skin Good is actually extremely good.
Yeah, see, that's the thing. You're going to come around on Dr. Skin Good.
Yeah, if you think that Dr. Skin Good is bad, if you're listening to this, uh-huh. Maybe grow up.
I think you just like, you might not be ready for Dr. Skin Good yet, but he's ready. Yeah. For you.
Yeah, I mean, tagline. Right there. You know?
Dr. Skin Good is ready for you?
Yeah, yeah. Dr. Skin, the doctor is in. The doctor is Skin. Like a mild mannered, you know, cancer screening kind of things. Yeah. And then like eventually this series would go off the rails and become like goofy, you know, like all those movies did. And, he's like owns a tanning salon or something.
Yeah, Dr. Skin would begin in with Mr. Skin. The guy who time codes
Mr. Skin.
Yeah.
Like, countdown on a pair of weird, like, just breast skin that have no breast in them.
Here's the thing, though. What is included in the skin? Is it, like, is it the subcutaneous as well? Because then the boobs would come.
There's some gristle, but not full gristle, I think.
Okay.
Like, some gristle, just enough to when they find the skins, they're scary. It's not, like, inert.
Yeah,
it's not like, oh, I found a used shower curtain liner.
It's not like what's left after snake molts, right?
Yeah. There's definitely some gristle and hair and stuff.
Yeah,
it's like it's pretty gross, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think it's really gross.
Dr. Skin Good is a gross out movie,
right?
But I think we could do a lot of dread work early on because him walking around like a man, you know, and then I just think that handshake thing's very scary.
No, exactly.
It's an empty glove. That's terrifying.
Uh-huh.
You know,
well, and then that's when he makes his noise.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. And does he just speak, or is it just like a wheezing noise that comes from him using his entire skin as a lung, basically?
And so I think that he prefers to speak telepathically, but he can he can communicate as the bagpipes.
Yes. What if the way that he communicates telepathically is by making tattoos appear on your skin that say the words he wants to say?
Oh,
like
shit.
You look down at your forearm and there's just writing there that's like,
mm-hmm.
Hello, your appointment is tomorrow at 4:30. If you need to cancel, text yes. If you want to confirm, text confirm. It's like slowly growing across your arm. Like,
yeah.
You know?
You kill him, or when you die, when he kills you, because you're not going to kill him. When you die, you can't ascend because the transformation process has to happen while you are still alive. You are useless to him, and you are forever marked by whatever his last message to you was.
Yeah. Yeah. all these kids, you know, are looking through the microfiche of autopsy reports and seeing all these tattoos that spell out the clues. It was a Mayan temple. And they're like, oh, spies in the Mayan temple.
I thought it was Aztec. Oh my gosh, this is a real break in the case.
Perhaps he's based on an ancient Mesopotamian legend. This would be like, I think that Dr. Skingood would be a racist movie, but in that old timey racist that people don't get as mad about, but they still get mad about.
Yeah.
But it's just that's the genre.
Yes.
You know, we could there's no way Dr. Skingood, or no reason Dr. Skingood couldn't be a modern metaphor. Like, what if it was Elon Musk or something?
Elon Musk.
Right?
Elon Musk. Yeah. There we go.
So.
I'm not sure what Dr. Skingood is a metaphor for, because the obvious answer would be like a you know, superficiality, right?
Sure.
You know, things being skin deep, but I don't feel like that matches. Nothing that we talked about has anything to do with comeuppance or with vanity or pride.
Well, it does that those kids are looking for perfect skin.
Maybe.
Like, and they're trying to, you know, to do that, then.
Yeah. But nothing about the action that he takes. Nothing about his excretions.
Yeah. And creating, you know, other skinlings or whatever is particularly metaphorical. That's true. You know, but you can just add metaphor to stuff.
True.
Like, before movies have taught us that. Well, you know?
Yes. True.
Like, you just say like, you know, he only goes after, you know, 9/11 responders or something. Bam, metaphor. No, he's trying to cross them off his list. Dr. Skingood's list, the tie-in novel.
Yep. Dr. Skingood's model. Jesus, that's
solved it.
Yep. They solved it in one.
Yep, solved it in one. Thank you, Dr. Skingood, and thank you Brian.
Thank you, Brian,
for suggesting Aries. I'm not going to do the metaphor or the acronym.
Nope.
And if you like the show, want to either request an episode or just get extra episodes of it, go to patreon.com/duckfeedtv.
Yes. We recommend it. Additionally, spread the word. If you like what we do, the best thing to do is to share us.
Absolutely. Yeah. And come to Duckfest.
Please do.
Duckfeed.com/Duckfest. August 31st, Portland, Oregon. You owe yourself a vacation.
Yes, you do.
It will be very fun.
Yeah. Spend it with us.
I meet some amazing food and meet some amazing friends.
Yeah. I mean, if there's anything that I can say with confidence, when, you know, so people come out to live shows when we've done them in the past, it is always a very good crew. There's going to be a lot of good community here. I
think so.
Yes.
I really do think so.
Yeah.
So join us.
Please do.
And we will we'll see you next time when we maybe have a catchphrase.
Maybe. The doctor is skin.
The doctor is skin.